Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Welcome back. Friday night in Montreal. What a way to end the week, huh? Mitch Melnick, Mitch Gallo, we are on site upstairs in the broadcast level at the Bell Center at our TSN 690 workstation. Rod Francis is back at the radio station, 1717 René Lévesque, corner of Papineau. We'll take you to face-off time with Dan Robertson and Sergio Amesso. Game 5, does it end tonight? Or is there a Game 6 in Ottawa? 6 o'clock for Game 6 in Ottawa on Sunday. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show. This is our first opportunity to talk Habs and Senators in the NHL playoffs. It's one of our favorite people around the NHL. Some of you watch him or listen to him. I fell asleep to these guys, actually, today. Had nothing to do with the content. Jeff O'Neill of TSN, how are you?
I fall asleep every time I call you, so there you go.
No, I've been fighting bronchitis, and you know what it's like on the playoff trail.
Oh, so you're saying you're not feeling well, or we bored you?
No, I was on the sofa. Normally, at around that time, I'm on my way or at my desk at the radio station, and I'm on the sofa, and I just, at some point between 12:52 when I looked at the clock, and about 1:40, I fell asleep.
Okay, you know I love you, Mitch, but I thought that was a shot saying you put me to sleep.
No, not at all. It wasn't you.
All right, so I don't fall asleep when I call you. I love you, and I wish I was back there, man. I got to tell you, not having the playoffs and being there last year and doing some of the games, some post-game stuff with you guys, like, there's just nothing better, man. The playoffs are awesome. It's amazing. I've been working some long hours, I got to tell you, but I can't wait to get out of bed and get back to work because I feel like I'm a part of it somehow. Like, you get to talk about it. We don't have the games, but I'll tell you what, it's pretty exciting stuff.
Did you feel the same way about the playoffs after your career, but before you started to do what you do?
I got to be honest with you, Mitch. I had a hate for the game. When I was a young kid, I loved hockey all my life. I would sit in my basement when I was like 15 years old or 13 or 14 and like tape my sticks and then rip it up and then tape it again. I would watch Wayne Gretzky Hockey My Way. Like, I loved the game. I loved the game when I played it, but I kind of ended on a sour note. And I scored 20 goals for the Leafs my last year, and I woke up in the morning, and they said, you know, I read the paper, and it said, Maple Leafs sign Boyd Devereaux and Bates Pataglia. And I'm like, oh, so they're not going to sign me. I hate everyone. I hate the Leafs. I hate John Ferguson, and I hate the game. So I got my little pouty face on. I moved down to South Florida. You know, I just said, oh, screw hockey. It's a joke. They're all a bunch of dummies. And that's why I love working at TSN, because I've connected with the game again, and I love it. I love seeing great plays. I love seeing great players. And I love talking about it. So that's why I'm happy about my job, because it's kind of connected me back to the game. And I love it the same way when I was a kid.
Well, that's great to hear. Jeff O'Neill in Toronto, of course, part of Leafs Lunch with Brian Hayes, Jamie McLennan, and many others. Melnick Gallo here at the Bell Center, Rod Francis back at the station. So what was your view of an Ottawa-Montreal playoff series before it started, and how do you feel prior to Game 5 tonight?
Sorry, what was that, Mitch? I had an idiot text from one of my buddies. You have to do the question one more time.
Oh, you got to read the text, and then I'll ask you the question.
No, I'm not. I don't want to get fired, so please just do the question again. I'll never ask that again, I promise.
Yeah. What was your view of a Montreal-Ottawa playoff series before it started, and what's your view right now prior to Game 5?
Well, I'll tell you what. The only thing that the Ottawa Senators have is an opportunity to scare Montreal, because, you know, I always say when you're down 3-0, it's like, why win one game? Because you're going to go back to their barn and get killed. So it speaks to the intensity of the Ottawa Senators, where they're like, oh, let's just see what happens. But if they win this one, then they scare the Montreal Canadiens a little bit. And I hope the Habs aren't fooling themselves, saying they're dominating and they're that much better. It's been a lot of Carey Price and Dale Weiss and some bit pieces contributing. But if their big guns don't start showing up, and guys like Bobby Ryan and Kyle Turris and Zibanejad, they have a game tonight, then they got a problem on their hands, because if you look at the Montreal Canadiens, you know, there's a lot of people in hockey that say Carey Price covers up for a lot, which he does, because he's the best goalie in the world. So he goes out there and plays the way he does every night, and it's like, you know what he does? And I love great goaltending performances because what they do is they save you a lot of video. Because when you're horrible and the puck goes in the net, because I play with some bad goalies, I won't mention their names, but what you got to do is you got to sit in a video room and say, what the hell were you doing there? The coaches are like, look at this, look at that, look at this. But with Carey Price, the coaches are happy because he got 2 points. And they just brush the video aside and say, nothing to worry about here because that guy was awesome. So they better get it together because if they keep playing the way they do, I don't know if they can continue in the playoffs just relying on Carey Price.
You know, because we were talking about your career a bit earlier, Jeff, I'm just wondering, I'm not going to say you and Max Pacioretty were the same player, but you definitely had the same role on a hockey team to put the puck in the net. And Pacioretty scored in his first game back, but he missed the last few games of the season, and it looks like he's playing a bit tentative out there. And while he hasn't been getting a lot of his clear looks that he normally gets, can you take us through what it's like for a goal scorer who is not currently scoring goals?
Well, you just said it right there. It's a great question because when you're a goal scorer, all you're judged on is scoring goals. Nobody cares if you hit. Nobody cares if you back check. Nobody cares if you hustle. The one thing I'd like to see out of Max Pacioretty, and I don't know if the concussion thing is a problem for him, but if you combine kind of Chris Kreider and Max Pacioretty, you probably have the best left winger that ever walked the face of the earth. There's just sometimes I watch him play and I'm like, where's the nastiness? Because Chris Kreider, the people in Montreal probably hate his guts because of what he did to Carey Price last year. But you know what? He is one nasty piece of business. He goes and he'll hit the goalie. He'll hit guys in the corner. And sometimes Max Pacioretty, it's almost like his weakness is if it's not, as a goal scorer, if it's not there, you got to go find it. And what that means is if the slot shot's not available, the one-timer, the easy play, well, guess what? You got to go make it happen. Go hit somebody. Go forecheck. Get dirty. Tip one in front of the net. Because if you're one-dimensional, it's all about the flash and dash, the two-on-one one-timer, or the easy play and the power play. If that's not available, some of the best goal scorers, they'll find another way. Steven Stamkos was a great example. I watched him play against the Leafs this year, and he had nothing going on the whole game. Like, he couldn't do anything. He was terrible. But with 5 minutes left, he got in front of the net, and he tipped one in, won the game. And that's a guy that just found a way. I mean, clearly, he has to do that right now because he hasn't played, you know, he's not playing very good. But that's what the best ones do. Brendan Shanahan, he was my line mate. And sometimes, you know, the one-timer's great, the open ice, but if it got to a point where he was frustrated, he would take the situation into his own hands and say, I'm going to fight somebody, I'm going to run over somebody, or I'm just going to bury one like a dirty rebound. So I think Pacioretty has to bring a little bit of that to his game where it's, if the free-flowing game's not available, find another way to get on the score sheet. Because he's so dynamic, he's so big and strong, and he's so talented, he's just so important to the Habs.
I think that's a really great description of Max Pacioretty right now because
that's why I get paid at TSN.
he has taken his overall game to another level. He's become so good defensively. He's become an elite penalty killer along with Thomas Plekanec. They threaten offensively when they're killing penalties. He takes great pride in playing at the other end of the ice, but if there is one element. And I think he learned this, and that's what I'm waiting to see. And I give him the benefit of the doubt because of the concussion issue. But I think he learned that going up against specifically the Rangers last season and a lot of Ryan McDonagh. He didn't initiate a lot of the contact with the Rangers. I think if given that opportunity again, he will. We'll see.
Well, Mitch, I'll be quite honest with you. Some people that I talk to, everybody in hockey, I know a lot of people. And there's some people that's, you know, It's brutal, but it's the truth. Some people say he might be a little bit soft. So he can change that impression for everybody and go out there and hit people and be dirty and gritty. Because the worst thing, I don't know what people said about me when I was playing in the press box, but if that one tosses out there a little bit soft, because like I said, Chris Kreider, you'll never say that about him. You know, he's not as talented as Pacioretty, but he will never be described as soft. And in big situations and big games, you don't want to be known as a guy that kind of shies away from the contact, is willing to take a hit to make a play. And Pacioretty can prove everybody wrong, and I want to see it tonight.
Rod Francis.
Jeff, I was wondering if you would take, like, you've been pretty strong on the Sedins up until last night. They had a great game last night, but to call it perimeter players and not getting to the crease on the power play in the offensive zone, could you take that criticism and apply it to some of the Canadiens forwards as well?
Well, the biggest criticism about the Montreal Canadiens that I have is they're missing that top-end talent up front. And, you know, they just need that number one centerman, because what elite talent does is it makes everybody better. I mean, if you put it like a Sidney Crosby, if Sidney Crosby's line mates were Galchenyuk and Gallagher, like, you got a serious problem on your hands if you're the opposition. So if things don't work out and they don't go deep this year, I'm sure Marc Bergevin is going to look and say, we need that top guy up front. Because as much as I like Plekanec, he's a perfect second or third line centerman on a championship team. If you look at Anaheim right now, they are dominant. And it's Getzlaf and it's Kessler. So it's not Galchenyuk or Plekanec or whoever else they're putting up the middle. You need those two dominant guys up front. And Montreal doesn't have that.
And that's why, Jeff, what you said about relying so much on Carey Price, I think Marc Bergevin knows it. I think he was looking for it at the deadline, but I think you saw some of the moves around the deadline. They were not giving up a first-round pick to get a high-end offensive guy. And
he's
just going to wait. No, I think he owes it. He owes it to Carey Price and the rest of the team, and he will. I'm confident he will acquire two offensive-minded forwards up front, and then you got a powerhouse here.
Yeah, you know what? And the situation in Pittsburgh right now is I almost swore right there. I almost got in trouble, but it's a disaster. Crosby and Malkin, that team, they're going to get killed tonight, and it's going to be over, and there's going to have to be some questions answered in Pittsburgh. And I don't know if Marc Bergevin, who has a relationship with Mario Lemieux, can ever get a guy like Evgeny Malkin, because I don't think Sidney Crosby is going to be the guy that's removed from the situation. But you put a Malkin or an Eric Staal in the Montreal Canadiens lineup and then follow it up with somebody and then Plekanec and then who else? Then you got a real dynasty. Not a dynasty, but you got a real quality team. Because I always look around the league, and you just mentioned the Sedins. The Vancouver Canucks are never going to compete for a Stanley Cup as long as the Sedins are the top-line guys. They're going to lose tomorrow against the Calgary Flames, and it's going to be over, and they can say they had a great year. But the only chance that they have to win is if the Sedins are on the second line. That's it. It's like if you don't have those monsters up front, those are the guys that get you through playoff series. It's all about elite talent, man. And some of these teams around the league that think they're close or competing or whatever, they're lying to themselves because it's about the dominant players. And if you don't have them, you got to try to find a way to either draft them or find them. It's very simple. And it hurts people's feelings because they're like, how could you say that about our team? Well, I'm saying it because it's the truth. I'm not allowed to say things, make things up. Because Bob McKenzie told me, he's like, Jeff, you always have to get your information right. You can't just blurt out garbage. I'm like, okay. So I do my research. I watch three games a night, and I know what the hell is going on. I'm not making this stuff up. If you don't have dominant centermen, dominant defensemen, and an all-star goaltender, which Montreal does have, you're not going to win squat. So if you're going to say, oh, we're close to winning, you're not close to nothing. There's six teams that are capable of winning the Stanley Cup this year, and we all know who they are. And you watch. The team that wins is going to have the dominant players, and they're going to be at their best. I talked to Bruce Boudreau today, and I asked him, you know, do you have to say anything to Getzlaf and Kessler, you know, to let them know that they have to be really good for you guys to win? He said, no, they know it. They don't play good, we don't win. It's very simple, man. It's like hockey people are just, it's non-negotiable stuff. Go out there and play good. And if our best players don't do it, then you're going to lose. And then you have to answer questions. And that's no fun.
And while relying on your best players, also relying on the support staff to pick it up a notch, which we've seen the Canadiens guys do. You alluded to that when we started. But from an Ottawa perspective, if you look for Pacioretty, for example, on home ice tonight to make a statement, how do you account for Bobby Ryan's disappearance here down the stretch?
Well, he's clearly struggling. I mean, he talked to Pierre LeBrun a few days ago, and he just said, I'm in the worst slump of my life. But he's one of those guys that's so skilled and so talented that he can turn a game around. If the Habs get into penalty trouble early, Bobby Ryan can go out there with that long reach and his skill, and he could rip a couple home. And Kyle Turris, same thing. Zibanejad, same thing. They haven't really been doing anything. And it's a really tough part of the industry, Mitch, when you're in the playoffs, because you have 14 days to make a statement in the series. And if you don't perform, and the streaks up and down can go very quickly. Don't play good in game one. You don't play game in good two. All of a sudden, you're struggling. You're playing terrible. And it's my job to comment on it. And I don't really feel bad because that's the business, man. You make a lot of money. You want to win. You got to perform. Nobody cares about what you did in the regular season. Playoffs are where guys, their legacy, nobody talks about my 41 goals ever. I scored 41 one year. They talk about my black eye in the playoffs, and I scored an OT winner. That's where guys make a name for themselves. Max Pacioretty, nobody cares that he's a 39-goal scorer or whatever he is, big, strong guy. If he scores a massive goal tonight after getting cross-checked in the head, then his legacy goes way up. So nobody cares. That's what some of these younger guys that are in the league now, they don't care. The guys in the press box, all the old guys that I played with, Bergevin and Shanahan and Yzerman, they want a guy to make a big play in a big game. And if you don't do it, they put it in the memory bank. They know it. They want you to do it in a big game.
Final one for Jeff O'Neill. Mitch?
Just from your experience, Jeff, when a power play struggles and yeah. It struggles for a long time, is that more of an issue with the players or is it more of a coaching issue?
That's also a fantastic question. The way I look at it is...
Well, you know that Gallo, you were one of Gallo's favorite players, right? You really helped up his game this afternoon.
I don't think that's...
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Gallo's a Leaf fan. Yes, I'm serious.
Okay, well...
I remember... Put it this way, Jeff. Put it this way. I remember the 41-goal season.
Yeah, but I don't know why you do, because I don't even remember it. Like, I literally don't remember it. But anyway,
the power play.
The power play. If guys are continually going out there and not producing on the power play, for me, they're not going to get that much of an opportunity more because I can't afford it. Playoffs are tight-checking hockey, and special teams are so important that you have to capitalize on the power play. So it's either dumb it down as far as structure, like bang pucks to the net and get traffic and be ugly, or change the personnel. Get somebody out there. Dale Weiss, put him on the power play. Get the fourth line, whoever. Get somebody out there that's going to use the man advantage. So that means crashing the net. And then after that, pucks are going to be available to create afterwards. So my most... Somebody told me early in my career, don't ever have Europeans on the first unit because they screw around. They want to move it around. Get guys that want to get it to the net right off the hop. And then that creates secondary opportunities. It tires out the penalty killers, and then they start getting tired. You can move it around, and then the fancy stuff can happen. But the fancy stuff cannot happen off the hop because it's too easy for the penalty killers. So get it to the net, be Canadian, and then afterwards you can be European. That sounds kind of corny, but...
No, it sounds kind of xenophobic. It sounds Don Cherry-like, actually, Jeff.
I don't even know what xenophobic means.
I knew you were going to say that. Great catching up with you. Rod is our...
It's a Russian term, Jeff.
Well, are you going to tell me what it means before you hang up?
Rod?
Xenophobic in layman's...
You don't even know what it means, so whatever, I'm leaving.
No, don't leave yet. Come on.
Okay, what does it mean?
Rod.
Well,
Rod's our political expert.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows what it means.
Well, I'd be shocked if he didn't know what xenophobic means. Yeah, Rod, I'm going to be disappointed here.
Well, it means that you've got a certain, perhaps you've got a certain prejudice against individuals based on where they come from, their ethnicity.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very simple. I don't want Europeans on my first power play unit. I want Canadians.
Hmm. Okay. Would you say that to Pavel Datsyuk?
No, I like him.
Have a great weekend.
You know what I'm talking
about. I do, but we're running out of time. There are people yelling at their radios right now, and I'm trying to channel them, that's all. Have a great weekend. Great catching up with you, Jeff.
Mitch, thanks very much, bud. Love talking to you.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.